Revelation chapter number 2. And let's look at the Word of God in Revelation chapter 2. We're dealing with the seven churches of Asia, and in particular with the church of Ephesus, the first one. And these are corresponding to the times of the years, and according to the times, the way the churches have gone. Now, chapter number 2, the Bible said in Revelation, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he," the Lord, of course, "that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars." I believe they checked everybody's spiritual condition against the Word of God. Amen. To see if they were real. Verse 3. "And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now we're going to deal with verse number 5 this morning. And it says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now they had lost their passion for the Lord, their love. They'd lost it. I mean, he cut the place, and I said before, they didn't lose that love, but they'd lost the passion of that love for the Savior. And that's where they were. That was a departure. But remember, this departure was not overnight. It was over a course of at least 30 years in a time when they had walked away from it. And at one time, they were had full love for the Savior. Their hearts were so happy in the Lord. Now this happens, and I believe I've already kind of give you a little bit of indication of that in the study of this already. That happens not only in church, it happens in marriage, it happens in business. Amen. You get your new job, and it's exciting for the first 2 or 3 weeks or 4, 5, 6 months, and then the next thing you know, it's like every other job. It's a job. Amen. And you know, the marriage, does the same thing. A business does the same thing. And so the ministry of the church, the work of the church, what they were doing, had become mechanical. The relationship had between them and the church and them and the Lord just routine. It wasn't that they was doing it all for the glory of God. They were doing it because it was just necessary, as we've discussed earlier. But verse number 5 gives a solution to the problem. Verse number 4, he tells them what the problem is. But in verse 5, we're going to find the solution. And the first word is one thing in part of the solution. Look at it. You'll find some words here that we need to see and look at it. And we'll see it. First of all, is what? Remember. Remember. Now, we need to remember. Now, I believe that sometimes we can remember some things we shouldn't be remembering. We're not to looking back at the things, and I've heard people get up and testify about all the sin that they did. I don't believe we ought to be bragging about the sin that we did. We ought to be thankful that God forgive us of those sins. Amen. Took us out. Don't brag about it. I heard people brag about what they used to do and all the things, just like they were bragging about it. I won't brag about sin. Let's not brag about sin. But remember where you were when God saved you. So that word remember, we need to remember what? We need to remember what we used to be. We used to be sinners on our way to hell. We need to remember how, and he's trying to get them to pay attention here, how that we once loved God with all our heart and soul and mind and body. That's the remember he's trying to get us to remember here. And so you're beginning to see it, and you see what is happening. Remember the fellowship we have with the Savior. Remember the fellowship we had with the people of God. Remember the fellowship we had at the church when we got saved. And got to remember that. Go back and remember what it used to be. And I said this already previously. If you can remember a time that you were closer to God than you are right now, you've got a spiritual problem now that needs to be solved. And so you remember those things. Go back and remember what's happened. Well, we need to remember that one time when you got saved, like springtime in your soul. No cold winter and you come through it, and next thing you know, you hear the birds are chirping and the flowers are blooming and the green leaves are coming out on the trees and it's looking good. That's springtime. Amen. You think about the springtime. And that's the way it was when you got saved. Your life was brand new. It changed over completely like a springtime in your life. Amen. You know, that's a good little thought to think on for a minute, if you will. Everybody has seasons in their life spiritually. You'll have a spring, a summer, a fall, and a winter. Amen. Springtime when everything's exciting and going, and then next thing you know, you're really on fire for God and moving out for God, and next thing you know, the leaves are falling, and you're beginning to die down and get a little cooler, and if you're not careful, you get dead and dormant for wintertime. So you take this, and that's good preaching. You can go ahead and look on that, and make a good outline off of that. You got to remember that when church seemed to be a blessing, going to church and seeing the people of God was exciting. And what happens when you begin to leave that first love and walk away from it, when you leave that first love, guess what you do? You start getting cold and you get to the place you don't want to go to church, and the church fellowship is not exciting. Amen. Now, I want to challenge you this morning. It ought to be exciting to get in the choir and sing. It ought to be exciting to sing in the congregation. It ought to be exciting just to come in and shake hands one with another. It ought to be exciting to get to open the Word of God. We're at the Lord's house. Amen. This is the Lord's place, and this is where we got to set aside. And we ought to get excited about it. We ought to remember that those times in our life. We ought to remember when we was at the place that we wanted to see everybody saved. Amen. When you got saved, you want to see everybody saved. Couldn't figure out why they didn't all get saved. Amen. When you got saved, you looked back and said, how come I didn't get saved before that? I know it'd been this good, I'd have got saved sooner. I hear people say that all the time, wouldn't you? Amen. But guess what? We get cold at the place where we don't think about it much anymore and take it for granted. That's what happens. You remember the time when the joy flowed like an artesian well up out of your loins where you could feel the presence of God. And you got excited about opening the Bible, got excited about praying, got excited about going to church, got excited about witnessing, got excited about singing. Amen. And now we come to church sometime we're dull and drab and dead. As old fellow said, we drag in, we drag out, and we drag on. Amen. And that's the way we live. We just keep on, paying no attention to the things around us. We need to remember the time that when we got saved, it's like being in Canaan land. Now we've moved from Canaan land, and we've instead of coming from the wilderness to Canaan, we've moved back to the wilderness. And we're at the edge. Instead of coming forward, we're going backward. Instead of coming from Egypt to the wilderness, to the Canaan land, we've moved from Canaan land to the wilderness, and we're contemplating crossing the Red Sea to get back into Egypt. And some have even tried that. Amen. It don't work, does it? So he says, remember. Now I say it this, and I believe it, verse number 5. The Lord is trying to tell them that they need a revival. Amen. They need a revival. Do you believe that? Well, I say this morning, we need a revival. Amen. We need a revival. Our hearts need to be revived. Now I want to talk about this just for a minute. They seem like there's a lot of misuse and sometimes people get things interchanged. And the world today, the worldview and the words in the Christian world and the religious world, the words revival and evangelism have become together. They put those things together. But that's not so according to the Word of God. We got all kinds of people think that they get if they're in evangelism and doing certain things evangelistically, then we've got revival. And I realize that's a fruit and an evidence of being revived, but there's two different things. The word revival simply means this morning to reanimate. Amen. To raise up the deadness in your life and make it alive. It means to renew, to awaken, make alive. means to reinvigorate us and restore us back to what we once were. That's what revival is. Amen. That's what revival is. And we think sometimes, you know, and I hear about it, we have revivals all up and down this country. They call them revivals. And I haven't seen one in many years. I've heard of some of them on the brink of revival. Even some of the meetings that I've seen, and they'll have, and I've had them to where that they, and you may not agree with what I'm fixing to say, but that's all right. I've looked at this thing for a long time. There was times back yonder when there were real revivals that lasted and stayed with the church and changed the church. And not only changed the church, because if the church ever gets changed, it'll start changing the world. There was times back in the early 1900s especially when they would have revivals and certain men, I could name you a few of them, I won't do it, but I could name you some. They'd come into towns and areas and even in the mills and some of the places they would shut down for a week and they would preach and people would get saved and they'd start those mills back up. And that was revival. You don't see that anymore. We're having a series of meetings, and I hear every once in a while that they'll go 10, 12, I've even heard of 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 weeks in revival in the days of my ministry down through the years. And it just continues meetings. But then when it's all said and done in those meetings of through and quit, you don't see nothing lasting from the church. And a real revival will go on for a while. And so that's what we need. We need some revival. So it's not a series of meetings that we need. And we need revival. A real revival can happen to you and me here today. Amen. It can happen here. We don't have to have a high-powered evangelist or a preacher to come in and do that. The revival is between you and God. It's not between the church and the preacher. It's between us and God. Amen. I need to have a continual revival. If my heart's not been revived through the week to step up here in the pulpit, I'm just going to beat the air. My message that I'll bring forth is to be a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Be nothing to it. And we're having that. We're having revivals now that what we call revivals, when it's all said and done, the church folks are saying, thank God that's over. I've heard people say that actually. Haven't you? Amen. They've actually said, well, tonight's the last night of the revival. Boy, I sure am glad. I've enjoyed it, but it's been tough. You know what I say to that? I don't usually comment to them. I just let them have their way with it. But I say to myself, they did not get revival. They'd got revival on Friday night. They'd said, oh boy, tonight's the last night of the revival. And I sure wish we had some more. I wish we'd go another week. I've even had people say that. Amen. Amen. They go another week and they're glad the second week. A revival is something that continues on. That's what it is, a reviving. Raise us up from the dead. Amen. You said, I don't understand that. Well, let me just tell you this. Physically, if you died this morning, and we sent you off down to the mortuary, and they prepared your body, and after you was dead for a little while, all of a sudden life come back into you, and you woke up and found out you weren't where you wanted to be, and time you crawled out of that thing and looked people in the eye, and said, I'm alive again. I do not believe that they'd be able to contain. I do not believe you go in and say, I want to live here. I believe the mortuary would be the last place you'd want to be for the rest of the day. And I believe you'd be going to telling people, hey, look, I once was dead, but I'm alive. And you see, that's exactly what revival does. Amen. I got the place that I was despondent, discouraged, dead. Amen. Not in trespass and sin so much as just dead to the things of God. And, amen, I'm glad you can't lose your salvation once you get it. You just got to make sure you got it. And so then what happens is once we have revival, you go on telling it. And you go on and telling it. Now, let me give you a few things of what revival really is. I've jotted down a few things and you listen to me. This business of evangelism. You know what evangelizing is? There's a lot of difference between that. Evangelism is announcing, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ with a purpose and with the art of persuasion by preaching the gospel. That's what evangelism is. We have evangelism and not have revival. Amen. We can have that, but it won't be effective evangelism. Now, I'm trying to tell you this morning that this thing has been mixed up. And I get tired of this being mixed up together. Now, let me give you the differences between them. So, revival is what the church experiences. Not the world, the church. The born in the church, when I say the church in this particular, the church is, and I'm talking about the true church, not the church as a whole across the world as people call it. You know, you can go to cults. They have what they call their own churches. But that's not the church. The church is the born-again believers who have been washed in the blood, saved by the grace of God. Now, what happens there is the church gets an experience from the Lord. Evangelism is what the church gets engaged in after it's been revived. Amen? Now, evangelism is something we do. We know we got a print ministry here, and the reason we have the print ministry is so that we can evangelize the world. And the more excited we get about the Lord, the more excited we get about the things of God, the more revived we become, the more we want to evangelize. See, I got a problem with people that said we just come out of revival and then they don't have no desire to pass out a gospel tract. They don't have a desire to witness to nobody for the souls. Amen. And they have no desire to even live right after the revival's over. They didn't have a revival. When people get revived, and I'm going to talk about, we have a problem with this today. We need to be revived. And these people have got the same way. They were doing everything right, but they needed a real revival from heaven. Amen. Spiritually speaking, they needed a revival. So we look at that thing. Now, a revival is a spiritual renewal for God's people. In other words, God renews us. Evangelism is confronting those who have never heard the gospel, or at least have not heeded the gospel. That's what it is. There's two different separate things. Revival is God crying, amen, to the unconcerned Christians that we get right with God. He's saying, wake up and get to work. That's what revival is. But evangelism is an awakened church, one that's been woke up and crying out to sinners, to repent ye, for the kingdom of God's at hand. Understand that? You'll never be able to get people won to God until we get to the place that we are revived ourselves. Amen. Now, if you've got a problem with spiritual witnessing, and when I mean spiritual witnessing, I'm talking about talking to somebody about the Lord. I remember, and I've seen this, and I have no problem talking to people in the public about the Lord, about the Word of God. That's just something that's natural for me. Amen. But there's a lot of Christians that say, I just can't talk to nobody. I just can't tell them about the Lord. You've got a spiritual problem. Amen. You said, I'm bashful. No excuse. Amen. No excuse. You put you in some other positions and places, I'll guarantee you, there are some areas that you're not slack in. Amen. Some of you folks can talk more about politics than you can the Lord. Some of you people can talk more about hunting and fishing than you can the Lord. Some of you can talk more about sports than you can the Lord. It's just comfortable for you to speak that. And, amen, wouldn't you like to think it's more comfortable for me to speak about the Lord than it is hunting and fishing? Amen. Certainly in my position you'd think that. Well, every child of God ought to have the witness in their mind about, or the thought of witnessing to the lost, in their mind about trying to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, evangelism says, repent ye. But revival says, wake up, get busy, and go to work for God. Now, revival is getting your own heart warmed, strengthened, and encouraged. Revival is something you experience. Most of us want to see the country have revival. And I say, hey, how many wants revival? Right? God, every hand goes up, you know. We want revival. But the problem is we want everybody around us to get revived, and we don't care whether we get revived or not. We want the country changed, don't we? How many of you like to see Washington changed? Amen, sure you would. How many like to see the system, the religious or spiritual system changed in America? Sure you would. But we don't want to pay the price to get it there. We don't. We're hoping that one of these days somebody is going to step in out of the world and take over and straighten the whole thing out. Lord, straighten it out. But now don't use me to do it. Isn't that basically what we're doing? Amen. This is basically. All right, that's where we're getting to in our day. That's where we live. And we need to think about it this morning. Amen. But see, what's happening in evangelism is trying to set the souls of those who are lost on fire because ours are already on fire. Amen. That's what we need to do. Revival is periodic. One thing about it, you can be revived today and dead tomorrow. Spiritually, I'm speaking. Don't you do that? Sometimes we're on a high spiritually. Praise God. It's easy to witness. It's easy to talk to people. It's exciting to get in the Word. It's exciting to pray. And then the next day, you don't even feel like opening your Bible and don't even have a desire to pray. So revival is periodic. It really is. But evangelism is something that's supposed to be continual. Every day of our life, we're to witness to people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Revival is something that's experienced by the church and by the church alone. And then evangelism is the expression of our revival in the church. I mean, we go out and express that. Amen. Revival will revitalize God's people. Amen. But it's not always welcome. Did you know that? We don't always want it. Revival is something you don't... We like meetings. I've been in churches down through the years, and they'll have a... And I pastored them where they were... They got to have a spring revival and a fall revival, and it's got to be a certain week and a certain time. It's always the second week of... They'll have two of them. Sometimes they'll have two-week meetings. Sometimes 1 week. And you remember, you can see how revivals have changed. They used to be 2 weeks. They cut them down to a week. And then they got to cutting them down. And when I said a week, they went from Sunday night, and you didn't get out and quit going to church every day until the next Sunday night. They went through Saturday night, and then they had Sunday for the regular service. So there you are, 8 full days of going to the house of God, 2 times on Sunday. Amen. And on the Sunday night, when it's about through and it's all over, that's when you got the smallest crowd. Because you've had a real revival. Don't need no more. Amen. Isn't it strange we're going backwards instead of forwards? And then they cut it down to a 5-day revival, and they close it out on Friday nights. And then they would have a 3-day revival and go from Sunday night to Wednesday night or from Wednesday night through Sunday night. And they'd have that, or maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 3-night revival. And now some of the preachers that used to have 5-night revivals have cut it down and they're through on Thursday nights now. We're so geared up to revival. We've got to have it. Twice a year at the second week in April, and I'm just using these for, and the third week of September, and we've got to have it. And we can't have it the week before, and we can't have it the week after because we've never done it that way. We've done that, you see, for so long, and we've got in our rut. We need to be revival to get out of that junk. And then we have the revival. And then, listen, we can have revival this morning if we want revival. And I believe that with all my heart. It depends on where you want to pay the price to have revival. Amen. Now, we see that happening. Amen. All the time. Revival will get rid of that careless life that you live. It really will. And it'll give you something worth living for. God will replace that conformity to the world where you want to live like the world and be like them. He'll put something else in your heart that will satisfy you to give you something that God can use in your life to do something with. Now, revival's necessary to get that spiritual touch in your life, to get you ready to go and be what God wants you to be. You know what happens in this day? We've come to the place that we have looked at it, and we've had a spiritual decline. Instead of going forward, we're going backwards, it's already said. Instead of going to spiritual highs, we're going to spiritual lows. Our churches are more dead now than they've ever been. I'm not lying. It's more of a motion. It's more of a ritual. It's more of a tradition than It is following the Word of God in these days. Amen. But God wants us to have that revival and be concerned about it. They needed it here. A revival got them back to their first love where they need to be. But revival is the Lord's work. And evangelism is the work of the church for the Lord after we get saved and born in the family of God. Now look what David said. David gave us a little sequence of revival. He said, create in me a clean heart. That's what he said. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what he said. David said, create in me a clean heart. That's number one. All right. You got it. Create in who? Me. What kind of heart? A clean heart. This is the way for revival. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Then secondly, he said, and renew a right spirit in me. Many of us do not have the right spirit. You said, you're trying to tell me my spirit's not right? I am. All of us have a problem with that. David said, and you got to admit it. As a child of God, you've got to remember this morning that you need to be revitalized. You need to be revived. You need to be picked up and woke up, I guess you'd say, this morning. And then his next thing he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. That's what he's saying. Amen. David had it right. Then he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. How about that? Now he's got the right order. You see it? Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. And he touches us. Matter of fact, we've got to have the touch first before we can go touch anybody else. So he said here, remember. You look at it. And then notice this. The Lord said, tarry ye in one place, at Jerusalem. And then in several places, he said to the disciples, go ye. You got to tarry for the power and the presence of God and get things right with your life before you can go. And he get go ye. That's what he said. And that's how evangelism is brought into play after we get right with God. We got to tarry with the Lord. Now, effective evangelism will wait on revival. And revival will furnish it and bring it out. When the heart is truly been revived, then the surroundings around us are changed. We'll see it. Amen. Now, revival is not always, I said a while ago, welcome. It's always loved and appreciated by the spiritual folks. They like it. Spiritual people like revival. They do. Old, dead, dry-eyed church members don't like it. They don't like to be, you know, none of us like to be knocked out of our rut. We do not like to get out of our routine. If there's anything in all my years of marriage is when my family somehow gets me out of my routine. Amen. And that's what happens to you, too, when you get your routine changed. Amen. You're 30 minutes late in the morning for your coffee because you had to do something you didn't normally do. You got out of the routine. You've been leaving the house at 7:25 and today you're having to leave at 7:28 and hope you make it on time. Because you already had it scheduled just right. Amen. Or somebody needs to do something and you had to leave at 7:15 and instead of 7:25. And you got started too early and messed up your whole routine and everybody hears about it all day long. Amen. So the spiritual folks are the ones that like revival. Then it's tolerated by the lukewarm crowd. There's some that's not hot nor cold. I don't know where you're hot or cold this morning, but I know this. The Bible said the lukewarm be spewed out of his mouth. Amen. And so we'll look at that and see. It's detested by them. They don't like it. It's just barely tolerated. And then the backslidden, they sure don't like revival. They don't want to change. God help us, we need it. Now, the first thing was, nevertheless, that means to remember. And verse number 1, he said, take note. Verse 4, I mean, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Take note. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and what's the second R? Repent. There must be a remembrance, then there must be a repentance. Now, what's repentance? We're not going to have any time to spend on this. But somebody told me, I've been preaching a long time ago, that we got to have a contrite heart, and we feel sorry for our sin. And I believe that anybody who repents feels sorry for their sin. But then I had a preacher tell me one time, that's not repentance is not feeling sorry for your sin. It's a change of mind. And that seems to be what the world is saying today. It's a change of mind. But I want to tell you, here is what repentance does. The Bible teaches this throughout all its words. It's a change of heart. Repentance is a change of heart. You don't look at sin like you did look at it. You come to the place you recognize that you're a sinner. You call on God, and then you ask God to forgive you of it. That is repentance. Now, that repentance will change your mind. After it changes your heart changes your mind. And your mind, guess what, will change your will. And it'll also change your walk. Amen. Now, we got it backwards. Now, we think now we can just change our walk and quit sinning and change our mind about what sin really is and what we've been doing. Then everything's all right. So now we've got a world full of people in the church that have done nothing but change their mind. They whitewashed the outside and left the inside dirty. What we need is to be cleansed from the inside and let it come out. That's what real repentance does. We'll spend some more time on that next week. But we see, first of all, remember. Secondly, to repent. And there's some more things. He's telling us in verse number 5 what we're to do to get it back right where it used to be. Because he said, I want you to go back and do your first works over. Amen. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom today. Thank you for the opportunity to be at the house of God. Stir our hearts. Touch the service. May the will of God be done. May the hand of God be seen. May the power of God be felt. Lord, may the touch of God be on us today that will direct us on in our paths for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.